But please have your Bibles open at Ephesians chapter 6. Now we all know that there are times in life when it's important that we're wearing the right outfit. There's a time when if you were going out to church, you'd wear your Sunday best. How many of us are in our Sunday best today? Oh, a few people are. Yeah, oh, there's one or two. Very good, that's very commendable. Very good. Nowadays, we do tend to just wear, reasonably smart clothes to church, don't we? And going along that. But if you were going to a wedding seems to be topical at the moment. If you're going to a wedding, would you wear clothes that were different to what you'd usually wear? Yeah. Gentlemen, if you were changing the oil on your car, what sort of clothes would you wear for that? That could be ladies as well. But if you were changing the oil in your car, you're going to want some old clothes and some sort of overalls as well, exactly, don't you? Maybe some of you have worked in a company where you have a uniform to wear, or they have a company t-shirt or something like that with a little logo on, some that sort of thing. And if it's raining outside, it's a good idea to wear waterproof, isn't it? We wear different sorts of clothing according to the situations that we find ourselves facing. And it's important to get it right. You don't go along to that wedding in your oil-changing clothes, unless you're a character on Last of the Summer Wine or something like that. You're going to be noticed, aren't you, if you go along wearing that sort of thing. And if you forget to wear your uniform to work, then you might be sent home, you might be sacked. And if you wear your waterproof out on a nice, warm, sunny day, everyone else turns around and looks at you, and you become quite self-conscious and maybe a little bit embarrassed. The right outfit for the right situation. And the same is true in the spiritual world. Right now, each and every one of us is part of the great battle of the ages between darkness and light. Humanity got involved in this when Adam and Eve fell, and everyone since then has been involved in it. And even though the victory has been won by the Lord Jesus Christ, there's still a lot of hard work and difficult situations for us to get through before we see Jesus face to face. And this means that we've got to be wearing the appropriate outfit for the situation we find ourselves facing. We are part of this cosmic battle of the ages, and we need to be wearing the full armor of God. And this is the equipment that we need that will allow us to stand firm in the face of the onslaught that we face. And we were thinking about that command to stand firm last week. It's an order. It's an instruction. This is not an optional extra of to being a Christian. It's not that there's some really serious Christians who stand firm and fight, and then there's the rest of us who just go floating along with the tide. This is a command to all Christians. We are called to stand firm and called to wear the armor of God, this outfit which God has given us, which is a reflection of God's own character. Because as we look at the armor of God, we see that what it is grounded in who God is and the gifts that he gives us. And it's a great privilege to be able to wear this armor. It's not available to everyone. It's only available to those who are members of the family. Those who are born again and adopted into the family of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're given this uniform to wear, this armor of God. And it's in its entirety, it consists of six pieces. There's three pieces that we wear, and then there's three pieces that are placed upon us or we carry. So you can naturally see there's two sermons here, isn't there? So today we're going to be looking at the pieces of the armor that we wear. And then next time, which will be in a couple of weeks' time, we'll be thinking about the sword, the helmet, and the shield. So we're just looking at verses 14 and 15 this evening. So let's dive straight in. And as we look at verse 14, we've got that reminder there once again to stand firm. Paul really is driving the point home here because he keeps on saying, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. And when you look at the Greek, it's not a request. This is an imperative. It's a command, an instruction, a non-negotiable. Christians are people who are to be constantly ready for action. A bit like a fireman in a fire station. They're waiting for the call. You know, there's always firemen on duty, and they're often upstairs, and they've got all their kit on, and they're just waiting for the phone call. Well, downstairs, the fire engine is all fueled with all the equipment, ready to go. So the moment that that call comes in, they just put on their helmet, they grab their stuff, and they're down and they're out in under a minute. They're ready to go. And that's how Christians have got to be. We've got to be wearing the armour of God, and we've got to be ready to go. Now the NIV, unfortunately, it doesn't quite bring out this sense of readiness that's clearly there. If we look to the ESV, which is a translation closer to the Greek, that reads, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." You see, we've got to have this equipment already put on. It's already got to be there. So we've got to be dressed and ready to go with the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and having the right shoes on our feet. So that when the moment of need arrives, we are prepared. We never know when we're going to need the armor of God. We never know when we're going to find ourselves facing a situation where we need this armor. It will come suddenly. It will come unexpectedly. It may be a lot harder than you think it's going to be. So we need to have the armor on now so that we're prepared and not leave it to the day of trouble, which is sadly what some Christians do. Those that are just bobbing along, they turn to these passages in the day of trouble. But by then, the enemy's already laid a blow in and you're wounded and damaged. So we need to have that armor of God on. We need to be prepared. And we're just looking at the three bits of the armor today. And the first one we're thinking about is, of course, the belt of truth. And whenever we think about these things, we have to remember, don't we, that these are grounded in who God is, his character, what he is like. And they are a direct gift to us as Christians. Also, the metaphor is clearly being inspired by the armor that was around, which the Apostle Paul was quite aware of. He was there. He'd spent a lot of time in prison. He knew what armor looked like. He'd been kept in prison by soldiers enough times. So we need to bear this in mind as we approach the passage. And we also have to remember that it was written 2,000 years ago, and people back then dressed a little bit differently to how we do today. That shouldn't be a surprise to us. I'm sure most of you can remember the 1970s. And people dressed a little bit differently back then to how we do today. Never mind 2,000 years ago. Styles of dress change. And that is perfectly true down through the ages. And in the Middle East, 2,000 years ago, people would often wear clothing that was quite light, that was flowing. There'd be robes and things like that. It'd be very loose because that helps keep you cool when you're in a hot environment. Now, this sort of clothing is great if you want to keep cool and relaxed, but it's a nightmare if you want to do any physical activity. Now, I know that some of the ladies, you know, you like wearing long dresses. And those long dresses, they're great until you want to do some sort of physical activity and you end up getting your legs all tangled up and things like that, don't you? Maybe. Maybe. With that sort, yeah, you don't do physical activity now. No, not with a dress like that on. Yeah. Your legs would just get tangled up and you end up falling over. Now, in those days, everyone would wear this sort of flowing garment, men and women. So, for a Roman soldier who's got to be ready for action, they would wear a belt underneath their armor, which would gather in all the clothing and bundle it together so it would not hinder movement. And this was the foundation of the armor, allowing the soldier to be ready for action. As Christians today, we need to be ready for action, which means we have to be gathered together and focused. Today, we live in a world of distraction unlike any other, where Christians are tempted to get involved in all sorts of things, some of them good, some of them indifferent, some of them not helpful at all. We just get pulled all over the place. And that means that our thinking is flowing around all about us. We really do need to get focused and not get distracted, so that when the enemy comes or the order to move out arrives, we do not have our thoughts and our hearts spread all over the place. We need to be ready to go. We need the belt in place at all times. And the belt itself is the belt of truth. So when we talk about truth, what is truth? Well, obviously, it's not being a liar. It's always being honest in every situation. It's that kind of thing. Truth is easy to define, but very difficult to live. And this is where linking the armor of God to God's attributes and his gifts really starts to make sense. Because the best Christian that this world has ever seen, whoever that is, that Christian is always going to be a mixture of good and bad. We've all got a little bit in us which is not as truthful as we would like to be. None of us are going to be perfect until we see Jesus face to face. But then think about God. God never lies. God always tells the truth. He is completely pure. He is absolutely truthful in everything. He is completely truthful. And this is why Jesus was able to say, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. He was able to say to people when he was on earth, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is tied up with God. The truth is tied up with Jesus and his words. The truth is what's revealed in God's word. So when we put on the belt of truth, we hold fast, we hold tightly to the truth of God's word. Now this is different to the sword of the Spirit, which is using God's word for attack and defend, and we'll think about that next time. Holding to God's word as the truth is the foundation of the armor. What happens when we start to doubt the truth of God's word? We find our armor is filled with all sorts of holes, and the enemy can shoot his arrows through and wound us. And this is such an important point for us today. We're surrounded on virtually every side by people who call themselves Christians, but who deny the truth of God's word. Sometimes these people will reinterpret the word so that whatever the society's latest trend and fad is, then it's absolutely acceptable and it's not condemned by God's word. They're led by society into what they think is right, not by the truth of the Bible. Or when they come across a bit that they find hard to believe, like God is holy and just, or various miracles and things like that, or how God's going to hold people accountable for their behavior, they just cut it out. They ignore it. Or they find parts of it too restrictive, so they say, well, that was all right for back then, but this is today. We've evolved, we've advanced, we've developed, and therefore it doesn't apply to us anymore. And it goes on like this. There are so many different excuses that people can have so that they say, God's word is not the truth for us today. And when you're doing that, you're saying that God's word does not have authority over your life. Brothers and sisters, we need to be wearing the belt of truth, being confident in the truth of God's word. And we need that belt done up tightly so that we're not distracted by the froth and futility of this world, but we are focused on the word and we know it well enough to provide us with the confidence we need to stand and fight, while also knowing it well enough to be able to identify anything that is a little bit suspicious. We need to have the belt of truth buckled up tight. And once that's in place, we can fasten on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is a bit of armor. It covers all of a person's vitals, all of those important bits, heart, lung, liver, kidney, and other equally important bits. And Roman armor did offer complete protection to the person. There's an old idea that floats around that you hear every so often, that Roman armor only protected the front and not the back. But we now know that the armor that was worn at the time of the Acts of the Apostles, the lorica segmentata, that armor, it provided complete protection. It was two bits. There was a bit at the front, and then there were laces down the side, and there was a bit on the back. So there was all around protection for all of the organs. Because when you're in a melee, when you're fighting, you can't always keep your line. They used to end up mixing with the enemy. And when you mix with the enemy, the blows come from all directions. The Romans had complete armor. They didn't conquer half of the known world wearing only half a suit of armor. This is armor that provides complete protection from all directions. And spiritually, this is the sort of protection that we need, because the blows that we face come from all directions. And it's often the blow that comes from behind, the one that sinks into your back, that's the one that hurts the most. We need to have the complete, all-round breastplate of righteousness on. And as we think about this, we've got to think once again about someone who lived in that time to understand what Paul's really getting at about this armor. Now, in those days, they didn't understand biology in the way that we do. And they had these ideas that all of your emotions and thoughts and feelings, they came from your innards down here, from your bowels and things like that. Of course, we don't think that way anymore, do we? Do you satisfy the desires of your heart? That's exactly the same thing. We know the desires don't come from the heart, but we still have that sort of residual idea in our society that our desires come from our organs. Now, the ancient world, that's what they believed at all. That's what they believed. And the breastplate of righteousness is protecting our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions from attack. And I'm sure that we all appreciate just how important this is. How many of us find that our ability to serve the Lord, our ability to read the Bible, our ability to concentrate in a sermon is based upon how we're feeling? Is anyone paying attention? Hopefully people are feeling all right. Our affections, our feelings have a huge impact upon our spiritual life. And most of the spiritual attacks that we face is in this world of thinking and feelings and emotions. So suddenly we may have a thought come into our mind and we don't know where it comes from. It's unexpected, it's particularly unpleasant. And we wonder where on earth that thought came from, that temptation came from. It may have come from Satan. It may have come from indwelling sin. Left to ourselves, we'd never consider such a thing. But there it is, suddenly it pops into our mind, or we feel a certain way about something. Anyone had that experience? Yeah, lots of people nodding. Remember that it's not a sin to be tempted. It's only a sin if we go with the temptation, which is dwelling on that thought, thinking it through to its conclusion, or putting it into action. It's not a sin to be tempted. This is what Satan does. He fires these darts at us, and he tempts us in different ways. We need to have the breastplate of righteousness in place so that we can cultivate an emotional state that is correct for the situation that we are facing. Because there is a time when our emotions are down. There are times when we find ourselves facing great sorrow. And yes, the breastplate of righteousness will protect us then. There's also a time to be feeling joy. And the breastplate of righteousness will protect us from in these situations at all. But when we talk about righteousness, what do we mean by that term? Hopefully by now, we know enough to realize that we are not righteous in and of ourselves. The best result of our best effort is probably the sin of pride, because all of our good works are filthy rags in God's eyes. But we're still able to wear the breastplate of righteousness, because our righteousness isn't our own. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in him, repent of our sins and ask for forgiveness, all of our spiritual filth and grime, it's all transferred to his account, while his righteousness is transferred to us. It's given to us. This is what the theologians call imputed righteousness. A righteousness that originates from Christ, belongs to Christ, but it's given to us. So we are clothed in his righteousness, and therefore we are justified, acquitted of any guilt or sin. Then under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we also receive another kind of righteousness, which the Puritans called inferred righteousness, a righteousness that is, as Martin Lloyd-Jones puts it, like a blood transfusion. And this is the righteousness that drives our sanctification, our growth in godliness, which will only be completed when we see Jesus face to face. This imputed and inferred righteousness is what makes up our breastplate. And what it does is it gives us incredible confidence. We gain real confidence from wearing a suit of armour. Has anyone ever worn some sort of armour and found that it gave them confidence? Yeah, one person's nodding. The closest I've ever been to it is when I've been in to one of these caves and you're given a hard hat to wear. Now, usually I don't need a hard hat at all. It's not a problem that I face. But just walking along down a cave with a hard hat on, you know, it feels that you're not too bothered about banging your noggin, does it? And it's the same with a suit of armour. It gives you great confidence to stand up and to be counted. Because one of the main ways that Satan gets to us is that he is the accuser of the brethren. Which means that if you do anything wrong, straight away he's there with, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Call yourself a Christian and you're doing that sort of thing. That's absolutely ridiculous. How can you think that you are righteous? And it gets you to dwell on it and to think about it and to ponder it. And when you find yourself in that situation, what you have to do is you have to say to him, or you have to remember this, yes, I know that I'm not righteous. I know I make mistakes. I know I keep getting my legs tangled up and falling and banging my nose. I know that I am far from perfect. But that doesn't matter. Because I have put my faith in the one who is perfect, who never made a mistake, who got everything right, who was without spot, without blemish, without sin. And he has given me his righteousness. And right now I am clothed in Christ's righteousness. So you can fire your arrows away at me. You're not going to make me feel bad because I am justified. I've got the breastplate of righteousness on. And it doesn't matter if that attack comes from in front or it comes from behind. We stand firm in the one who is absolutely spotless. And that's the breastplate of righteousness and how it protects us from all sorts of problems. So we need to be remembering this. Because one of the things that Satan does in the spiritual warfare is he gets us to forget the promises of God and the blessings of God. And then we end up going around in circles and kicking ourselves. And there's no need to, because all we have to do is turn back to God's word and see the promises written there for us. And then we will be able to stand firm and deal with those attacks the moment that they come. So that's the breastplate of righteousness. Let's move on now to the shoes of the gospel of peace, our third and final bit of equipment. And we all know, don't we, how important good footwear is. Whether you're walking around town, whether you're walking around the Trafford Centre, or whether you're walking up Pendle, you may have different sorts of shoes for different sorts of situations. We need our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And as Paul's looking at this, a Roman soldier, he sees that they have a special sort of sandal as well. They used to wear these fixed sandals, which had metal studs in. And the idea of these sandals was that they would protect their feet from little booby traps. When they were in warfare, one of the things they used to do, because so many people would fight barefooted, is all you got to do is put a few spikes hidden under the sand or something like that. And you can take a soldier out of action for a whole day. Possibly giving them an infected wound, which might even be fatal. So the Romans had got around this by giving them extra thick leather sandals with metal studs in. And those metal studs, maybe a bit like a football boot, allowing people to keep their grip in slippery ground. And it was a key part of their equipment, because they needed to advance over whatever the terrain was. They needed to trample those booby traps underfoot. And, you know, it really helped them in their conflict. So this foot protection was essential. Now, as we think about this bit of equipment, there's a real sense of action about it. We need to be ready, standing on the gospel of peace. Now, some commentators think this section is about always being ready for evangelism. But I think we need to just shy away from that sudden change in context and just remember that this is about spiritual warfare rather than outreach. I think it's more about keeping your balance, being ready to absorb blows from whichever direction they come from. And we can only be ready when we stand on the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been singing about how he is the solid rock. All other ground is sinking sand. And our whole Christian life is built upon his gospel, the gospel which brings peace. Because this is the great joy of Christianity, that we now are reconciled with God. We have peace, we have shalom with God the Father, through the Son and empowered by the Holy Spirit. That old conflict that was between us and God has been done away with. And the gospel of peace, it extends out to the whole church as well. A key theme of the book of Ephesians, which we've been talking about, is how the gospel brings together people who are completely different, Jew and Gentile. As we look around this room here, we've got people who are completely different, but we're united together by the gospel of peace. The gospel brings peace. It brings unity. It gives us a solid rock to stand on. We're surrounded by so many different ideas about how people get right with God. But it's only through the gospel that we find ourselves standing on that firm ground. So we need to rejoice in the gospel, be aware of it, and just think how our whole Christian life is built upon it. It is the ground that we stand on. It is the footwear that we wear. This gospel which brings peace between God and man and between man and man. And of course, it's the gospel that we're called to take out there as well. We do need to be ready to take it out. It's a wonderful message. It's the message that the world really needs to hear. And it's a critical part of our armor. So it's clear that as Christians, for us to function as healthy Christians who are growing and maturing, we've got to have this armor on. And it's clearly not automatic, because Paul keeps on commanding people to put it on. Whenever there's a command, there's a choice. It's either yes or no. So we need to be people who rise and say, yes, we are going to put this armor on. God has provided us with everything that we need to stand firm. We just need to be willing to put it on, to make sure it's polished, to make sure it's clean, to stand up and be counted. It means that we've got to be familiar with God's word. We've got to be confident in our justification. We've got to remember those promises of Scripture and remember that we stand solely upon the gospel of peace. When these pieces of armor are in place, we are ready to stand up and fight. And the longer we stand and fight, the more we put our armor into practice, the more we become like the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the armor reflects God's character or their gifts from him. So our armor gets thicker and stronger. And that means that as time goes on as a Christian, we're able to engage in more intense conflict. We're able to stand in places that would have just crushed us when we were a young Christian. We mature and we become stronger as we become more familiar with our armor. So we need to have the belt buckled tight. We need to have the breastplate on and our feet equipped. And when we're wearing the armor of God, the right outfit, we're able to stand for the Lord in the great conflict that we find ourselves embroiled in. Amen.